There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along for another hour of live local talk. And the phone number and the text line, both 343-0106. 343-0106 also gets you a call or a text. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave me a talkback message by pressing the microphone icon right there on the app. Record the message, sends it to the station, and I can play it back on the air. And we're following that story out of LaFleur High School. And this started about an hour ago with the first call out, and then I got the information from Leanna. One male has been shot, non-life-threatening injury. LaFleur High School is on lockdown, and parents are showing up on the scene. So we're watching that story. We'll give you more details as they become available. All right, I mentioned before we went to the news, he's District 105 representative, last on the charts, number one in your hearts. Chip Brown joining us on Midday Mobile. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Sean. It's great to be with you today.
It's good to get you on as well, and a lot to talk about with the upcoming session. But we'll start off here. You and I kind of talked about this. Was it on air, or maybe it was us talking off air about seafood and labeling in Alabama?
I remember the conversation. I think it may have been on air. Maybe okay. Last time I was on in December.
Yep, and you said here's the issue, and laid this out about seafood and the way it's labeled here, if it's in Alabama or coming from somewhere else.
Well, you know, one of the to go even bigger picture on this thing, you know, what happens is the federal government essentially subsidizes foreign seafood imports, and the way they do that is through the World Bank and through the UN. The United States government, they go over and they stand up seafood industries in countries like India and Bangladesh, Ecuador, India, and we help them modernize their seafood industry. And then in turn we don't charge them tariffs to come in the United States, or we charge them very low tariffs. And they flood the market here in the United States, and they sell below cost oftentimes because they're subsidized by their own governments. And so it makes it hard. Our federal government makes it hard for our local seafood industry to compete. So we started looking at ways to inform consumers of what they're actually eating. And if you look at restaurants, if you go to a restaurant and you order something on the menu, I think as a consumer, you have a right to know where that fish, that shrimp, that crab, that oyster, where did it come from? Did it come from overseas? Did it come from the United States? And so what this bill does is it will require restaurants to label, to have labels on their seafood on the menu or on a sign location inside the restaurant saying exactly what it is and where it comes from. And then also it at grocery stores, it does the same thing in bigger, bolder letters. It actually spells out what size the font has to be on the packaging or what size it has to be on the bin that contains the seafood. And it also, it has a little bit in there about deceptive marketing practices as well. Things like what is fresh caught, what is wild caught, those sorts of things.
What do those things mean? What does that mean? Wild caught.
Exactly. Well, I was at a local seafood restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and I asked for the catch of the day, and this is a place that you would think would get seafood right out of the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what's the catch of the day? And they said, Sway.
So what? God bless
you. Well, where is that from? And she said, you know, I think it's from the Gulf. And
uh-huh.
I said, well, where? The Gulf of Tonkin in Vietnam? And she said, no, I think it's from the Gulf of Mexico. So she didn't have any idea. Yeah, I don't think she was really trying to mislead me. But, of course, Sway is essentially Vietnamese catfish from the Mekong Delta in Vietnam.
That's catch of the day. Okay.
Catch of the day. Yeah, I'm sure it's very fresh. And what you're getting here, you don't know what you're really getting. I mean, it's and of course they say Sway because they made them, the federal government made them change and not say, you should say catfish, and which is even more misleading, really. But it's, you know, if you should be able to demand that you have local seafood, and there's truth in what you're getting, and that will help save jobs in our area, because, you know, people will be under pressure. I think restaurants will be under pressure to sell U.S. seafood and not this junk that's coming from overseas.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't, when you order, let's say shrimp, when you order shrimp and it they don't tell you where it's from, or they say, oh, this is fresh shrimp, and you have an expectation with a word like fresh or wild caught that it's from the Gulf of Mexico. But oftentimes it's not. They're getting what they can get at the cheapest price possible, and you don't know what's in that, what it's been contaminated with. I mean, all you got to do is go on and look at videos of how they raise Sway in Vietnam, and it's essentially in ditches that have runoff from all types of chemicals, and you just it's just dangerous. You don't have the high standards that we have in Alabama and the United States.
All right, so and this does still offer the liberty, if I read it correctly, if a place does want to sell that stuff, they can still sell it. They just have to say what it is.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's not cutting into their ability to sell foreign seafood at all. They can continue to do that, but consumers need to have the right to know what they're buying and where it came from.
Yeah.
And that I'm a very much a free market economics kind of guy, but what this is, it's our federal government essentially trying to put commercial seafood out of business, and that disrupts the free market aspect of it. And
why would they do that? Representative, why would they do that? Why, I mean, you talk about them going over. I could play this game and say, hey, we're going to go over to places that we're worried about them. I don't know, the situation there, them not coming into the second or first world. And so we're going to set up, they got seafood, so we're going to show them how to make some money here. So they'll be members of the little L League of Nations, right? They'll be players. But then what? Then they sell in here. And take away these. I mean, do you think that's by design, or they felt like they're just doing goody two shoes stuff half a world away?
I think it's a combination of both. I think you have there's a certain aspect of it that we have to help out these people in these third world countries and help them modernize and create more jobs in their area, but at the same time, their governments, say the government of India, the government of Ecuador, they're subsidizing their seafood industry. So once it's up and going and modernized, they can take a loss because the federal government, the government in India, the government in Ecuador, wherever, they, 9 times out of 10, they subsidize those losses. So the seafood industry in those countries is, they're making money. Those guys are making money. They're getting paid by our government and by their government. And I think it's a combination of that, but I also think if you go on and you look at the NOAA website and documents that NOAA has put out, their goal is to eventually have you eat only farm-raised seafood. That's what they want. They eventually want everything, shrimp, fish, all of it to be farm-raised because of their concept that emissions from boats are causing global warming, and they want to put that out, that industry out of business. And
oh wow!
So yeah, it's a insane world that we live in, Sean.
Sadly. Yeah,
it really is. I mean, you know, when the federal government is not your friend and is fighting to get against you, and that's what we're facing really right now. I mean, in the seafood industry in Alabama and just across the United States, is their backs against the wall. And so, you know, this legislation, this bill, this House Bill 63, will help with that, especially, you know, local people want to buy local. They want to be able to get seafood and that was raised here or grown here or caught here and know what they're getting. They know they're getting something that's good out of the Gulf, and that's what we want. We want to have that knowledge that what we're getting is fresh and what we want to feed our families.
Oh, and before we wrap up here, too, if you're just joining us, talking to District 105 Representative Chip Brown, session coming up very, very soon here. Let's talk gaming. I mean, that's been, you know, last time you were in, I said, hey, when I saw that we're going to crack down on illegal gaming, it made me go, maybe we're going to push for legal gaming. What are you hearing? What are y'all expecting to see in the House?
There's definitely going to be a bill, and it will be towards the front of the session, and it's a comprehensive, it'll be comprehensive gaming legislation, which means, you know, lottery, casino gaming, sports betting, and it will happen early on. It will, people want the right to vote. They want the ability to vote yes or to vote no, to voice their opinion. We haven't had a vote in Alabama on gaming since Don Siegelman was in office. And, you know, I err on the side of we're a republic. We listen to the people that elected us and sent us to Montgomery. And the people that the majority of the people that talk to me want the right to vote. Whether they vote yes or no, I don't know, but they want the right to vote.
But don't you know the rub here is what it looks like, right? Like, I, right. I think, and that's always my worry here. When people have heard me, you know, talk about gaming, it's actually, I'm like you. I want the right of referendum. I want people to vote on this. I mean, I'm still aware of the social ills. If somebody tells you there's no social ills, they're lying. There's social ills that go with this, but I want the liberty for the people. But I don't want to end up with a gambling monopoly that needs to be under the PSC's purview because it's a monopoly. You know, I want competition, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like a free market approach to it goes back to what I was saying about being in for free market economics. You know, the final bill hasn't been seen. It's not, you know, we go in session next week, and so we'll have to see what it looks like. You know, that'll determine where the votes are, yes or no. It'll determine where my vote is. If I've got to see the bill to know what's in it. You know, before I having to make an informed decision on what I'm looking at.
All right. Anything else on you think will be kind of first week stuff that you're looking at? Do you think we're looking at any kind of special session within the regular session, within the, what do you expect to happen on that?
Well, I don't know that we'll, you know, I can't speak. Of course, in Alabama, the governor is the only one that can call a special session.
Right. And, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know what's in the governor's mindset right now, but, we'll see ballot harvesting, a bill to outlaw ballot harvesting, which is, of course, voting absentee, and where you have people that go around and gather absentee ballots for people, and you'll see a bill. We had one last year, but it just didn't make it in the Senate for whatever reason, and that's going to come back very, very early on, for sure. We need to take care of that. We need to deal with that situation because we have to have security at the ballot box. And so that'll be early on. I think you'll see bills dealing with school choice, with ethics reform. And, I have bills dealing with ESG, environmental social governance. I have a bill that requires a 90-day notification before they cancel your insurance policy. have a bill that guarantees that if you provide genetic material to one of these things like 23andMe or even Ancestry.com, that they can't sell your genetic material, and that's what they do right now. When you check the boxes, you check a box that allows them to sell your genetic material to third parties, and so this would outlaw that.
Yeah, but I'm worried, like, even if we had that, you know, I mean, how many people have said, take me off the registry, put me on the do not call list, and the phone's still ringing, man.
Well, if you decide, if you don't want to do that, then there's penalties for them violating that. And it wouldn't do anything for law enforcement's ability to solve cold cases, which Alabama has a phenomenal track record of solving cold cases. Our state forensic lab is leading the nation in the amount of cold cases that are solved. So the last thing I want to do is to mess with that ability for law enforcement to solve cold cases. But at the end of the day, you have a right to privacy. You have an expectation that if you provide your DNA to a company, that they're not going to sell it to some third party for, you know, nefarious reasons that you didn't want to happen. So I thought we needed to go ahead and try to get on top of that right away.
All right. Well, good stuff. We're going to, of course, check back with you throughout the session and see which one of those bills is up and moving and kind of where it is and, you know, as we go through the 2024 session. So, Representative, I appreciate your time. We'll get you back on soon.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.
There he goes. Chip Brown. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 125 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. New week and always new inventory to talk about. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. We got, all the inventory we've had coming in here lately, stuff we bought. We bought some more. We got a 17 Ram regular cab just got here. We got to get pictures of it today, and we got some pictures of some other stuff. But it's an 88,000-mile silver regular cab with a short bed. Good-looking pickup truck. Those are real popular with everybody. But anybody wants to fix one up and make it look cool, these are really good trucks to work with. And then we've got a ton of other vehicles on the ground. We got trucks, we got Thunderbirds, 03 Thunderbird, we got a Corvette out here, convertible, anything you need, we got it.
All right, talk about financing. How's that looking?
Financing is good. We've got the secondary lenders that are stepping up right now, and they're ready for tax season. So if you've got a big down payment, small down payment, come see us. We got a program for everybody.
All right, good stuff. Tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Check us out.
Will do. Thanks, David.
Have a good day, Sean.
All right, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And I get a few of these texts in here, but I do want to update this story that has been going on. I think probably last, probably a little around noon, we first started hearing about this. And Leanna's been keeping us up to date here. Here's the latest from our news partners at WKRG. Now two shot at LaFleur High School. We had one earlier. Now it's update from Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine says, the parents of the shooter should do the right thing and turn their child in. Prine says he will not provide the genders of those involved in the shooting, but he added that, in fact, two people were shot. He said one juvenile was grazed and another received a non-life-threatening wound to the abdomen. Parents of LaFleur students can come to the Clinton Street side of LaFleur High School to pick up their kids. Renee Phillips with the Mobile County Public School System said Mobile County Public School System has a zero-tolerance weapon policy. I'm sure that's a policy. We got zero tolerance policies on a lot of things that are called crimes. And I'm with Renee. I mean, Renee's giving you the policy, but it doesn't keep people from breaking the policy. She went on to say, the main thing we want everybody to know is the campus is secure and our students are safe, aside from the shooting victims. So that's been going on right now at LaFleur. I'm sure is it still on, Leanna, can we see, is it still on lockdown? I don't know. I mean, they're saying that it's safe. Is LaFleur still on lockdown or not? It is still on lockdown. Yes. Okay, it's still on lockdown. Thank you. Leanna's saying still on lockdown there at LaFleur. All right, more information comes in, we will pass it along to you. Backstrap Stacker says, expect the prices to triple at your local seafood restaurant, or your local restaurant, not seafood, local restaurant. Here's the deal, man. If it was to ban imported seafood, I wouldn't be for it, right? You need the liberty to be able to buy that. But if it is about saying, hey, this is what this is, and this is where it came from, that's labeling. Yeah, I think the idea of telling folks what it is, I mean, to me, the big blue Democrat cities that want to shut down, like, you can't have a sugary drink, you know, whatever. I'm not for. But if a place wants to say, hey, here's how many calories are in this thing, or here's how many calories, I think that's valuable information, right? So things you're about to eat, you know where the stuff comes from, you might say, hey, you know what, I don't care. It's going to be $5 cheaper, right? I'll take it. Or you go, no, I want to make sure I'm, you know, getting this seafood from this place. I think it's just giving people more information. We'll see. Speaking of fish and all that kind of stuff, the legacy of Dr. Bob Shipp. We'll discuss that with Blake Lielis coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. This segment of the show brought to you by my man Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles, who was a person who did C-Lab. Clint, you're dating us. I think he said 35 years ago with the now late Dr. Shipp. But he's also got bicycles. So he's got this connection to Dr. Shipp. He's also in the bicycle world. What got me into riding bicycles in my 50s, it is Clint and the e-bikes. And the e-bike revolution, man, it has been everywhere. And Clint came to me because he said, man, you'll use this to hunt. You know, you'll use this right around the farm. Absolutely have. And I also use it to exercise because it's more fun to ride. Meaning this, like you'd say, okay, if you get a regular bike, not an e-bike, wouldn't you get more calorie burn and all that? Sure you would. Sure you would. And I don't run my e-bike. It's called an eco mode where it just kicks in a little bit. But what happens is that eco mode makes it more fun to ride the bike. So you ride it more days, more hours, and get more exercise. You ride the other bike, you're like, yeah, this stinks. I'm not liking it. And you don't do it. It sits there and becomes a clothes rack. Well, with the e-bike, for me, not only does it help me get around the woods and hunting applications and all that, but it's like a couple times a week during the wintertime and probably four times a week in the spring and summer, I'm riding the bike to get exercise. It's a lot of fun. You need to check it out. Now, I run a Scout from Magnum. That's the manufacturer and the model I have. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Because the selection at Adventure Earth Bicycles, if you're looking for like an on-road e-bike or a hybrid e-bike, something specific to different things, there's a different e-bike for different folks. And right now, too, they got a new shipment of the U-Free e-bikes in. They have the new updated and more powerful motor and battery. New display, even a lower step through, makes it easier to get on and off the bike. They also got the new Denago hunting e-bikes in for turkey season, so check those out. Big selection, 50 e-bikes charged up and ready to take a ride at any point at Adventure Earth Bicycles, where mine comes from. Go check out the whole selection. And if you want to get a non-e-bike, 400 of those bikes in stock at any time. See them right there at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown, kind of across from Ruth's Chris. Online, adventure-earth.com. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. And go check my social media feeds if you want to see a look. I had some ducks on the back of it the other day, trucking them out on the e-bike. That was a good thing. All right, I also mentioned last week when we got the news of the passing of Dr. Bob Shipp, I said we'd get to interviews on and people to talk about the legacy of Dr. Shipp and what a great place to go. My buddy, he is director of CCA Alabama, Blake Lielis. Usually you hear him on the outdoor show. You don't get on midday much, man.
No, that's right.
So you've broken through.
That's right, yeah.
So first of all, I guess to the new people in town or people who hadn't paid attention to this, CCA, what are y'all? What y'all do?
Coastal Conservation Association, and We primarily work, the quickest way to explain it would be we're not unlike the other like hook and bullet groups like Wild Turkey Federation and Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, and that we work to make sure that the resource is in good shape. It's being managed properly. Access
maintenance. That resource being the fish, the environment.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, even more so, those other organizations are a little bit differently than how we have to operate because we have, there's a commercial sector. There's,
right.
There's
yeah.
a commercial, there's dollars attached to fish sure. and fisheries. And with that comes lots and lots of
it is different. I mean, you think about pressures. That situation with, yeah, in the world of saltwater fish that's not faced by anything. There's some limited, obviously, commercial in the freshwater world, mm-hmm. But nothing like saltwater. And mm-hmm. then you look at, you know, you just went through the list of ducks and turkey and elk and everything else. There's not a commercial
right,
harvest there.
Right.
So, yeah, it is different.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's clear as day because it's managed through the Department of Commerce.
And
yeah. so, yeah. you know, it's not U.S. Fish and Wildlife. It's yeah. managed through the Department of Commerce. And so that pretty well proves that it's dollars do matter, and there is a commercial sector, and because of that, we have to be extra vigilant and work hard to make sure that, you know, we're not getting shut out of things, and that things are done fairly. And that's really, you know, a segue to Dr. Shipp. You know, he recognized early on that you know, if this is going to be managed through the Department of Commerce, those management techniques aren't going to always work. Really rarely will they work for recreational fishermen. And with that, you know, the need to understand it, the first part right. of coming to a solution is accepting it, understanding it, and then, you know, looking at some creative outside-the-box solutions to manage the resource. And that was not a very popular path for people within the fisheries management world and research to take. So he was at the forefront of kind of pushing back and opened the door for a lot of work, progress we've made today.
Yeah, it's so amazing to have, you know, you grow up with stuff and you take it for granted.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just how it is. So the fact that, you know, like Dolphin Island Sea Lab, mm-hmm. right? There's this Sea Lab. Like, yeah, it's awesome, this Sea Lab, but people don't realize how significant, how rare something like the Sea Lab is that mm-hmm. we have here. And then you grow up like me, and there's this guy, Dr. Bob Shipp, you yeah. know, and he's a teacher, he's an author. He's a guy that will stop not just to talk to scientists, but to fish freaks like me as a kid.
Right.
You know,
because he did people, fish. He was,
yeah,
he was an angler.
Yeah. So get him started talking about pompano fishing, you could go on for days mm-hmm. with him. So it was very cool that he could be at the top of the game in the science world, but also speak regular language
yes.
and talk to people that were just as passionate mm-hmm. about the fish, but maybe coming at it from a different perspective. Yeah. And you grow up around that, and you think, well, everybody's got a Dr. Shipp. No, they don't.
No,
they don't. So, yeah. I mean, it's a special thing that we sit back and look at his legacy and go, how lucky we were. Maybe we didn't realize how lucky we were at the time.
Yeah, yeah. And, I was talking to Dr. Powers last week when he shared the news with me, and you know, he told me straight up that he wouldn't be at South Alabama if it were not for Dr. Shipp.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Shipp said, give me a couple of years, you know, trust me, come in here. And he said he did. And so, you know, it's like the giving tree. I mean, it continues
yeah.
to go. And I went back and looked at some of our old archives at CCA. So we used to be called GCCA, Gulf Coast Conservation Association.
Right. Before y'all got nationwide.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
And I went back to our archives to pull it out because I've been the director for 10 years. And before that, I was volunteered for 5 or 6 years. So I'm 40 years old.
Right.
CCA Alabama is 41 years old. So I would always hear bits and pieces. And they used mm-hmm. to say that Dr. Shipp was the executive director for a number of years. And I never stopped to find out exactly when that was, and I'd talk to him about it. I would reach out to him as a, you know,
yeah, hey,
get his advice
sure.
and stuff, and so I dug through some archives and some of the old notes and whatnot. And he was our executive director from 1989 to 1995, and then after that he continued with us as our official state marine scientist. And then, you know, I was looking at some of the things that we, you know, we accomplished early on, and it's
yeah.
they rolled off my accomplishments sheet because I try to keep it all in like one letter sheet.
Yeah,
and I started looking at them.
We call the business a one sheeter. You like to hand people a one sheeter.
So some of the things that I was looking at that would be in Bob's reports, his notes were like the saltwater fishing license bill that we got behind and helped put together to establish, you know, saltwater a fishing license.
And that was what year? Do you remember?
92.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, 92, and made sure that it was, you know, those funds were protected. And
right.
Went
you know,
back
to the resource.
We don't have time to talk about all the Sport Fish Restoration funds and whatnot, right, that we are able to access and use because of that, the way that was set up. But things like that, the game fish status for speckled trout and redfish in 1984.
Yeah, that was a big, big deal. Folks who don't, they can even actually look at Mississippi now where it still don't, they don't have, mm-hmm, those protections,
yes,
that, what that meant here.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because he served on the, not only 27 years on the Gulf Council, he served on the Alabama's Conservation Advisory Board, mm-hmm, for, I haven't even seen the number of years if we tallied all those up, but I can assure you it's at least 27 years probably.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like tarpon became a game fish in 1993. That was with the help of Dr. Shipp. And I got a kick out of this one in one of his reports. And it's 1996, banned gillnets in Old River.
That was the start of it.
That was just one that struck me because I live down there in Orange Beach, right, and I fish in Orange Beach. And to just think that, like, you know, gillnets running across Old River, that,
yeah,
must have been a slaughter fest.
Yes. Yeah, and there was, and there, listen, there were a lot of contentious times out there,
yeah,
in this. And, like, there are when you've got different forces at work, and you've, mm-hmm, got a commercial side.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, before, you know, recreational for hire was together with recreational, it wasn't separated, but, mm-hmm, you had commercial or recreational.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about the value of the seafood industry here, just did with Representative Chip Brown, but also you can look at what the recreational value is. But, you know, here you had Dr. Shipp. Here's a guy, his job was a science, mm-hmm, but he's also an angler, that enjoyed catching a fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that brought those two worlds together. Yeah. I mean, he had to manage the fish for the, sure, benefit of all the, yes, people of Alabama, yeah, but then he knew how much fun.
And yeah, was only going to, you know, argue one side. He was, right, very good about being real and realistic. And, you know, and he did have a gift of translating some of this really complex, yes, management information and putting it into bite-sized pieces that made it easier for the regular anglers and regular people to understand. And, you know, Dr. Powers is really good at that.
Yep. They both had that same gift.
Yeah, in that world and in that space, it's very rare. And so, you know, we used to say it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but now it's even more so true that, you know, we have to continue to make sure that we have the next Dr. Shipp, the next Dr. Powers,
yeah,
in the system, in the pipeline.
But USA Marine Sciences has set itself, oh, yeah, up to, yes, do that, to be,
yeah,
and that's, I mean, the crazy thing. Think about this brand we have, mm-hmm, here, and we have, out of the Gulf states, we have the shortest coastline.
Right, yeah.
And we have, but we have the biggest names.
Biggest names, that, you know, the artificial reefs.
Yeah.
He was part of all of that, getting, yeah, the tanks and getting the roads to reefs. And
y'all
the
think about
to reefs
that.
And the
stuff you're fishing now, yeah, and been fishing your whole life.
Yep. Yep. And he was, his fingerprints are everywhere, and it's going to take me a little while, but I'm definitely going to, I'm going to start, you know, if anybody has pictures or, mm-hmm, or stories, if they want to send them, but I'm going to start compiling this because there's too many things that I think are neat and special that just because we may have taken them for granted, that I want to make sure it's documented all the ways he did impact us. And, you know, we were lucky enough to, you know, when his wife, Linda, passed away a few years, mm-hmm, ago, when we found out that, we immediately, you know, our state board put together and we committed the first $10,000 for the Linda and Bob Shipp undergrad research scholarship there at South Alabama. And then in late 2022, we actually recategorized. We had been giving to their graduate student fund, because that was actually, Dr. Bob told me early on when I asked him how can we best help, and he said the graduate students, that fund that they use to travel, to go to conferences, to, mm-hmm, work on their thesis, he said that fund year after year is most depleted, and it's empty, you know, very early on.
Mm-hmm.
He said anything you can give to that would be great. And so in late 2022, we took those funds that we would normally give to that, about $20,000 per year, and renamed that the CCA SHIP Sportfish Research Graduate Student Fund. And so we're able to continue to make sure worthy projects get funded with the help of Dr. Powers, to make sure we can have that next Dr. Shipp, Dr. Powers, in the pipeline. But
this for sure. I want to do this. We're going to break talking with Blake Leolis from CCA Alabama. And one of the things, too, that puts this as part of the fabric of our lives is Dr. Bob Shipp, is this thing that's in so many homes. You walk in, it's on a coffee table. They've got it. And it's, I guess, it is, Yeah, part of the, and maybe it's beyond here. Right? If you went into Florida, Mississippi, and Louisiana, they'd have that same book as well. But Dr. Bob Shipp's Guide to the Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico is just one of those works, one of those things you walk in somebody's house and see it and go, okay, you're my kind of people. You brought in some copies. You have an autographed copy?
Yes, I've got one okay. Copy signed by Dr. Shipp.
Let's do this, because I think it's pretty special, y'all. This is an amazing thing. Blakely has brought this in, and we can give this away.
Yes, yep.
Okay, so let's do this to caller number 6 right now at 343-0106, autographed by the now late Dr. Bob Shipp. Dr. Bob Shipp's Guide to the Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico. Caller number 6 at 343-0106. We got your book. We'll come back and more of our discussion about the legacy of Dr. Bob Shipp with Blakely Ellis from CCA.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And congratulations to Jennifer. Jennifer just picked up the autographed copy of Dr. Bob Shipp, the Guide to the Fishes of the Gulf of Mexico, and provided by Blakely Ellis with CCA Alabama. Thank you. It's just one of those books. It makes me happy to see other people have those books in their house, man.
Yeah. Well, actually, provided by CCA because Dr. Shipp. He donated us all the rest of his copies about 5 years ago, asked me if I'd be interested in moving them out of his warehouse because we were tired of collecting sales tax from every state in the country. And I probably stuttered and said, where's the address again? And I'll be there like right away.
Yeah, I'm already there.
Yeah. So
can people who, Jennifer won her copy, but if people want to purchase, do these show up in the auctions or?
No, but they are in the auctions. And I need to figure out a way to have more of a storefront where people can pick them up outside of the auction. So if they want to follow us on social media we'll make sure one way or the other that people can purchase these, because I'm not sure what's going to happen after these come through, but we've got some boxes of them back at the office, handful of them that Dr. Shipp signed for us. And so, and this is the second edition, the color pictures, color mm-hmm. images, you have to ask Dr. Powers if he might pick it up and maybe do a third edition with some updates or something.
Yes.
That'd be really neat.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sean, if you're listening out there, Dr. Powers, he'll be on. And by the way, he joins us on Friday for a discussion as well here on Midday Mobile. So, Blakely, we're talking about the legacy of Dr. Shipp, and big part of that, of course, is the not only bringing attention nationally to our area, but globally to the world's largest, let me get it right, in case I have some JCs come up here. It's off the top of my head, y'all. The world's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament, the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right, JCs? Dr. Shipp was the way Dr. Powers now. They just are emblematic right there along with the JCs in this.
Yep. They're getting their hands dirty, and the experience that it's really neat, because it's not like they're up on the sitting in the air conditioning calling down the orders. They're
in the trenches, man,
and that's where those young students get in there and get their hands dirty and gross and figure things out.
Yeah. But what's so cool about it? Once again, like I said, you grow up here, and it's like, we got Dr. Shipp. It's just this thing that you're used to. You don't mm-hmm. realize how big it is till you step back and see. Same thing with the rodeo. Grew up fishing the rodeo, still fish the rodeo. Mm-hmm. 51 now, still part of the rodeo, and to look at the amount of information, I always thought, okay, it's cool. There's some science stuff going on. I guess that was my, hey, man, there's some science stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But then to realize that this system here that is, number one, the JCs are a charity group. They are raising money for local charities, putting on an amazing party. But the amount of science that's done here that you talk to Dr. Powers about it. I mean, I tell you, it's like there's no place in the world that you have anglers volunteer to go get you all these samples of the biggest of the different species.
That's right. And it's, that's one of the things that we do with CCA is we work to make to bridge that gap between the science and the anglers. And whether it's, if they need data, then, things like our fish tagging program comes into play, and mm-hmm. being that middleman between the two, because you can't expect a scientist to stay current and working on the research, and if they need to catch fish to go out and catch fish,
right?
And vice versa. So it that's one of the roles that we thrive in, is really being that middleman between the two and connecting people, connecting the dots. But yeah, it's really neat. And you're right. It's you know, between the history of the rodeo and all the students and, you know, that have come through there,
yeah,
and worked their way through South Alabama and the Sea Lab down there. It's pretty special.
All over the planet right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Their students come through Sea Lab. They're all over
That's
the planet
right
now. But yeah, it's once again, it's this thing. It's like this rodeo and the research and the book and Sea Lab we just take as part of the fabric of our lives here. But we need to, you know, we go through this thing where it's getting, you know, it's Mardi Gras season now, and we're paying attention to what makes us different, makes us special around here. And this is definitely a world of things that makes us special and different right here on the Alabama Gulf Coast, that this doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel confident and good that Dr. Bob knew how we felt, and he felt the love from everybody. So I have no regrets. Certainly going to miss him. He was he was just an awesome guy. But you know, he was just an awesome larger than life. He was just a legend. He was a legend, and to have a legend within the marine science and research, that just, it doesn't come along that very often. And it took me a number of years to stop calling him doctor when I'd talk to him, because he would always get on to me and he would say, please don't just call me Bob. So
his trademark hat. And,
mm-hmm, you know, yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. Well, he will be missed. But there is, you know, there's a whole community of people here and abroad that appreciate his legacy. If people want to get more information about what you're doing at CCA, how do they find you?
CCAalabama.org, and then follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And then we'll get you set up with our emails and whatnot.
Okay. And I'm going to put him on the spot, but I know the answer. You're going to be at the, you're going to be with me at the boat show, right? You're going to come
on? Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
We'll be there. We're doing our fish tagging seminars all weekend.
Good deal. That's coming up soon as well. As always, good to see you, man.
Yep. Thanks, John.
All right. I'm out of here. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Talk to y'all tomorrow for another edition of Midday Mobile. And check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Oh, yeah, and by the way, more chances to win Senior Bowl and Counting Crows tickets coming up tomorrow morning with Dan and Dalton.